Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I am Shannon.
And I'm Cassie.
Welcome.
Yeah. Welcome again. Yet again, we're happy you joined us for another week, another episode.
Here we go. Yeah.
So by the time this episode comes out, our news story would have aired the night before, 10 p.m. Tuesday, April 19th. When we're recording this, we're still a few days out from that. We're pretty excited.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully you guys are excited. Hopefully you guys watched it. We'll share it. We'll have shared it.
Yeah.
The day this comes out, probably, yeah. Too. So we'll have a little extra that's coming out today, aside from, like, the show post with pictures. Then we'll also share the news story as well.
Yeah.
But we would love to hear your guys' reasons. Like, why are you into true crime? What got you into true crime? The paranormal, any of those types of things. You know, we kind of on the news story give our reasons, so mm-hmm. We would love to hear yours. Just start a little conversation.
Yeah. We might, like, yeah, make a little post about that, and then...
Just get a little discussion going. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love it.
But we don't have too much housekeeping to get into this week, so we're always learning, always just, you know, taking it as we go. So
sure are.
We appreciate that you are here for the journey with us.
Yes, here we go.
And with that, Shannon, tell us a story.
All right, guys, here is our story. So this week we're going to North Dakota.
Okay.
That's a state you don't hear about too much, you know? Like Fargo, okay. I mean, everyone knows some Fargo, right? Yeah.
That's a great movie.
It is. It is a great movie. And didn't they make, like, a TV show out of it or something recently-ish?
I haven't watched the TV show, but I heard it was pretty good. I think Chris Rock joined, like, the third season or something like that.
There's that many seasons?
I think so, yeah. It came out a few years ago.
I thought this was, like, a one-and-done type thing.
No.
I might have to go check it out.
I have an ever-growing list of things that I need to watch that I just add to, like, my watch list.
It's hard.
I had a client give me a great idea because, you know, between Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and HBO and all the things.
So many.
I don't know what to go. Well, so I downloaded the IMDb app.
Yeah.
Not an ad.
I also have that app and I use it daily, so.
I didn't realize you could put a watch list in there.
Oh, yeah. You can. I guess I don't even utilize that.
So he was telling me that's how he goes about watching his to figure out what he's going to watch next. So I went through all of my, like, different areas and added all of my shows that I had in my, like, watch lists, mm-hmm. like, to watch. So this way I can go in there instead of trying to, like, hop around. I can just go through.
That's a good idea.
And figure it out instead of trying to hop around.
I know. That's where I've been lately. And then my mind is like, wait, what did I watch? But I did finish the new Dexter season, and that's what I was like, you got to check that out now. Because I need someone to discuss it with. So if you guys have watched Dexter New Blood, let me know. I need to discuss.
It says season one, so I'm assuming they're going to do more.
Okay, so the way it ends, this is not a spoiler alert. I'm just going to say it kind of is like...
It could go either way, probably.
Yeah,
like,
but
if it's done, it wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, like I immediately Googled, is there a season two as soon as I finished?
Yeah.
And it was like... inconclusive, like it didn't really say, but
well, this took how long? And I'm sorry, I wish they had just redone the final season. That was horrid.
Yeah, well, and this takes place in like a cold climate, whereas the whole series of Dexter was like Miami, you know, so it's just very different. And I'm not gonna like say a lot for those of you that
haven't watched it yet,
but gosh, what's his name, Michael Hall?
Maybe.
I just love him, and he doesn't really age.
No, I did notice he doesn't look that much older.
He looks the same, and I'm all about it. So
I'm gonna watch it.
Yes.
I'm probably gonna binge Russian Doll later tonight after we finish because I haven't watched that yet, and they're only like 20-minute episodes.
Yeah. Is there a new season?
It's about to come out.
Oh, because I haven't watched the first season. I started to, and then I got one of the other shows.
One of our friends. Was like, I really need you to watch this. And since that's shorter episodes than Dexter, it's easier to get through. I figured I'm going
to
be up late tonight, probably.
Oh, yeah, it's a Friday.
It's 8 episodes and they're like 20 to 30 minutes long.
Oh,
so like,
yeah.
4 hours of binging.
Absolutely.
Is fine.
Done. It's done.
It's fine.
It's fine. That's what we do as adults on Friday nights.
I'll wear my sunglasses to my son's soccer game.
Oh, it's
and
fine.
Just
they'll just think you're super hungover, but in reality, you just binge watch Netflix all night.
And
it's
I'm
fine.
Napping. It's fine.
You know, it's fine. There's way worse things, so totally fine.
Okay, we got way off track with all of that. So so we're in North Dakota. It all started with Fargo, but yes.
There you go. Okay, so Okay, well, just kind of start here, and I will say, too, there is a little trigger warning. There is mention of suicide. It's not a huge part of the story, but it is mentioned, so just want you to be aware of that. If that is something that maybe you don't need to listen to this week, that is totally fine. But we'll just kind of jump in now. So we're going to talk about Anita Knutson. Knutson, I want to say? K-N-U-T-S-O-N?
Is that what you say? It's probably just Knutson.
I know someone with it that's named Knutson, too.
Well, then it's one of them.
So that's weird. Okay. Now I don't know, because I'm like, now I'm questioning everything I know.
I thought the K was usually silent.
Someone I
like
know.
Like knife.
Oh, yeah. We'll just call her Anita.
Yeah.
Okay. So Anita was an 18-year-old college student, and she went to Minot State University, where she had just finished her freshman year, and she was looking forward to summer break. Her excitement for summer was cut short when she was found brutally murdered in her apartment June 4th of 2007.
Oh, geez.
So we'll start with that just so you kind of know where we're going with this story. Okay, so we're going to go back now and kind of talk about Anita and how we got to this point. So going back, Anita was born September 22nd, 1988 in Orange County, California. She was adopted at age 5 by her parents, Gordon and Sharon Knutson. Knutson, either way. They lived in Anaheim, California for several years. So while they lived there, her parents eventually adopted two other children, Dan and Anna. And their family was super close-knit. They were just super close. They loved spending time together, and Anita loved her family. And she also loved school, and she really excelled at school. So when she was in eighth grade, it said that she actually wrote and published a book.
Oh.
I couldn't find any other details, but I did find that, and I'm kind of curious now what that was about. But, like, clearly she loved to write, too, yeah. I take it, and was smart. So I don't know the details of that, but she did publish a book. So eventually, as she gets a little older, her family ends up moving to Butte.
Yeah.
Okay. North Dakota. So this is where she attends high school at this point.
Can you imagine the shock of going to California?
I was just thinking that.
To North Dakota?
And I don't know what it was that took them there. I do know that her dad was the, oh gosh, why am I suddenly drawing a blank? The governor? Is that a governor? Oh. Governor? Mayor? Governor? Oh, gosh. That's not the same at all. I apologize, people. As soon as I said that, I'm like, why can I not remember? He was, he was well known in the community as, a leader. So, I don't know if that maybe had part of, why they moved there. Because I know he was, at the time of her death, he was in that position. So, I think I have that further down. When I come back, we'll just bear with me here. So, yeah. Going from California to North Dakota, talk about some teenage angst. I would be mad.
Talk about just the climate shock.
Ew. And,
the
nothing.
Snow and
Butte's,
the cold.
Small. And, yeah. So, I mean, it didn't say a lot about if she loved it or hated it. I'm going to say hated it, because
I don't know. She still went to college there.
That's true. That is true. But she loved her family, and that's where they were,
So. Hard to say.
It is hard to say. So while she was in high school, she was super active in FCCLA, which is Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America. She also received state and national recognition in drug awareness. She was involved with soccer. She played the piano and the violin. So you have top-notch kid here. Good kid.
I always wanted to learn the violin.
I know. I think that's amazing.
I know.
It just seems very classy, a classy thing to play.
I don't know why I've always loved the violin.
People who play the violin, I just love that sound.
Lindsay Sterling.
Yes! I was just going to say the one girl.
I want to see her. She's been to Omaha a couple times. I feel like she's coming again.
We have to go.
I want to see her.
Hands down, I feel like, yeah.
She's phenomenal.
If anyone has connections to her, hook us up, because she's amazing.
Did you ever see when she did the song with Pentatonix?
Yes, yes.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
Goosebumps. Yes. Yes. Amazing. And yeah, everything she does, it's gold. I remember at one of my past jobs, when we play music just while we were, in the office, we would find her station on Pandora and stuff. And it was it was just all so amazing. So
We clearly appreciate violin players.
Yeah, like Anita, you go girl. So she did all the things, and she graduated with honors in 2006.
Oh, so she's my age.
Yeah, she was born in 88.
Oh.
Are you 88?
Yeah.
Oh, duh. Oh, yeah. No, I knew that. Okay. Yeah, we're just 2 years apart.
I just turned 34.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so old. Just kidding. I'm not that much older. I'm just more, you know, wise. So, okay. So, Anita was also a member of St. Paul's Lutheran Church. And like I said before, the FCCLA and FBLA. And she was just involved in all of the things. So, in her junior year of high school, she was even the vice president of FBLA. I know I kind of jumped ahead that she was graduating, but just going back to that, that's like how involved, like every
single
thing.
Future business leader of America, for those who don't know.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. So when she wasn't doing all the things that she did, like her hobbies were reading, writing, and music, obviously. So she was just very vibrant, full of life, and was just super excited about the future because she had big plans. So everyone says that Anita was just born to be a teacher. She wanted nothing more than to be a teacher. So naturally that's what she majored in college. So she went to Minot. I had to listen to that a few times to hear how it's pronounced. I believe that's correct.
Why not? But with an M. So Minot.
Yeah. So she went to Minot State University and majored in elementary education. The school was only an hour away from Butte, so she wanted to go somewhere close so she could stay close to her family just because they were so tight-knit. So her brother and sister, I think they were maybe 2 and 3 years apart from her. I can't remember their exact ages, but they were both still in high school, and they were only like a year apart in their age. So they would go visit Anita often at college just because, you know, they were like buddies. So they would go visit her. And then when she wasn't attending school, she was also working at two different places. So she was busy. She worked at the Fairfield Inn as a housekeeper, but she also worked at Vanity. Do you remember Vanity?
Vaguely.
Oh my gosh. I used to love Vanity back in the day. RIP once again to one of my favorite places. It was like a
mall store.
Yeah. Like a, not a Forever 21, but like that kind of store.
Yeah. Vaguely remember it.
We had one in my tiny town growing up at our mall, and it was like, besides that and the Buckle, it was like the only place to get like, quote, you know, cool clothes. Yeah. So
I hated going to the Buckle. I didn't.
I know. Lincoln, I wasn't a fan either.
Lincoln was the closest place.
Oh yeah. For you.
We had to drive, it was at least 30 to 40 minutes. Mm.
Yeah. If we wanted to go to good places, we actually had to drive to like Denver, which is, I want to say like 3 hours ish away from Western Nebraska, so not bad.
That's not terrible.
And then I remember we thought we were like really cool and we could go to Old Navy, you know, live in large in Abercrombie. Okay.
I mean, Lincoln had those, so yeah, I didn't have to drive 3 hours for
it. That's true. Closer. Yep. Okay. So that's where she worked. Okay. Sorry, guys. So she just worked at the Dakota Square Mall that was there, I'm assuming. So all while maintaining a very healthy social life. So she was always known to have lots of friends around her. And, okay, as we stated kind of before, she was very excited for summer break. So she was planning to stay in Minot and just work and then spend time with friends and family. So the first weekend in June of 2007, Anita's parents went to a baseball tournament for her younger brother, Dan. So they were in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Oh, hey.
I know. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, yeah, I've heard of all these places, but you just don't hear about them on a regular, I guess. So
is it Bismarck the capital?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, hey, sure look is. At me. Look at you.
I remember
some
things from elementary school.
Wow. You get a gold star, Cassie. So, excuse me, I had a little cough there. sorry. Okay. So while they were at this baseball tournament, they tried reaching out to Anita several times, but they never heard back. So this seemed weird, and it was very uncommon to not hear from her because
she
was
close.
Yeah, and by now texting is very a thing, and calling, and you know, all the things. So the last time that anyone had actually heard from her was that Saturday. So that was June 2nd. So she did not show up to work at her job at the hotel that day. So naturally her parents become concerned, And her mom had her husband, so Anita's father, he drove down to, or I don't know, down, over, up.
He drove to her
place. He drove to her place and to check on her. So this was June 4th. So Gordon was the governor. It is in my notes. Thanks, guys. There we go. Okay, so Gordon, he was the governor at the time, too. So he drove down there. He gets there, and the door to her apartment is locked, so he can't get in. So he has to find maintenance workers to let him in. So, like, the maintenance worker and, like, a landlord, like the lady.
I'm kind of surprised, especially being a governor, that he didn't just call the local police to do a well check.
I know. And maybe they did something like that more, and I don't know. We just didn't,
he just didn't want to, like...
Well, and I think, yeah, he didn't want to think that it was something...
Well, and two, if he's like, oh, you know, maybe she overslept, she's not feeling good or something, and to have the working. Cops.
Yeah. That's true. It's like, yeah, when you're working a lot too, you just think, okay, she's a college student. Like, maybe you're like, we're trying to kind of lean back a little bit, let her, you know, fly on her own and whatnot. Yeah. But, like, when she calls all the time, that is weird. So,
right. I feel like you kind of know the difference. I don't know.
But. I guess, yeah. And if it's only an hour away, like, okay, that's like, yeah, Lincoln to Omaha-ish. So I don't...
Yeah, I mean, it's not a horrible drive. I don't know. I'm so paranoid. I probably would have still been, driving. And then, also, can you please go do this? Because I don't want any minutes wasted.
Like, that night, not hearing from her... this kind of stuff just makes us extra paranoid. So we would do all the things. So,
right.
So, okay. So the maintenance workers are able to let him in. So unfortunately he comes into a very grisly scene. He found Anita face down in her bed and she had been stabbed to death. So she was covered with like a bathrobe, house coat. I've heard it referred to both ways in my research. So, she was covered and, as we all know, kind of side note, when a victim is covered, they generally think it's a personal thing because they don't want to look at what they did.
Yeah, it's usually someone close.
Yeah.
I'm sure it happens, but it's pretty rare that it's an unknown assailant.
Right.
Usually it's someone who knew the person because, they don't want to look at what they've done. They're trying to still cover them to... hide from themselves what they've done, but also to, like, sometimes it's, like, a weird, like, giving them dignity.
Yes,
thing.
Yes, and that's bizarre to me, too.
It's like you murdered them.
Yeah, you already took that away.
Yeah.
And, like, I was listening to a podcast, and these guys that are, like, professionals were talking about how, yeah, generally they do have a personal connection, but sometimes that personal connection is just from them killing them. So, like, you get those weird cases where they feel like, oh, I just met her and killed her, so I feel...
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It just, obviously, it varies in the form. So, like, that doesn't always mean something, but it kind of gives you, like, a starting point.
Right.
You know? So... she was covered and they did find a pocket knife nearby. So her car was still parked yards away from the front door and nothing appeared to be missing from the apartment. So they immediately discarded the whole motive of theft.
Right.
So that was odd. So then kind of sidestepping. So Anita's sister, Anna, who was super close with her, she just said that she remembers that day because... her brother, Dan, picked her up from a friend's house, and he was being really weird and quiet, and she kept asking him what was wrong. Well, is it mom? Is it dad? That kind of thing. And she said, was it Anita? And he finally just said, she's dead. And that was it.
Oh, God.
And then they drove home in silence.
How do you break that news to someone, though? Well, it's never easy. Gosh.
And especially when you're, like, so close, and then you're just in shock at that point.
Right.
You
know? I'm sure he was in shock, too, and they, you know.
Yeah.
That's so difficult. But also, so, like, kind of back to how they found Anita and ruling things out, obviously it's not a breaking and entering theft that went wrong because the door was locked.
Correct. And I'll go into that a little more, too.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
But it gets very, like, there's not a lot to go off of at this point. Because, the door was locked from inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll actually get into that here in a second, if you want. I was I can explain it now, but we'll just let me finish this part and we'll move to that. So, like, okay, so, you know, the family finds out and it's just, like, everybody's in shock. So they later determined that Anita actually had been dead for more than a day before her dad had found her. She had been stabbed at least 2 times in the chest. There was no evidence of sexual assault or defense wounds. A pocket knife, like I said before, was found nearby. And the bed was soaked in blood and it was on the floor. And another thing that I was listening to, because I listen to weird things, clearly we do, it's a little morbid, but no, they were talking about like someone, if you kill someone with a pocket knife, it's different than like a sharp knife, because a pocket knife, they can be very sharp.
They can be.
But you have to use a lot more force to kill somebody. So like it was a very vengeful, just
like personal.
Yes.
Well, and then too, if there was no defensive wounds, she had to have been asleep.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Cause I'm like, and if she was face down, I don't know, but whoever, you know, did it, they covered her clearly thinking like,
yeah.
So that was, I mean, really all they had to kind of go off of. So she did have a roommate, but she was out of town at the time. So, and other than her, the only other people that had keys were the maintenance guy, the landlord lady, and then Anita, obviously. So it was weird because the door was locked when they arrived. So it was locked from the inside, obviously, because he had to be let in. And also at the time of the discovery of her body, the maintenance man pointed out that the screen had been slashed. So there was blood on the screen as well. They did kind of later determine that it looked like the screen was cut from the inside.
Yeah.
Which, once again, we know when people are staging a crime.
Right.
They immediately think of, well, what's the first thing they're going to look at?
Yeah.
You know? And so,
which, why don't people think about, like, do it from the side that you would be doing it from, not right. from the inside?
Well, and especially when they, like, break windows. Oh, I'm sorry. The glasses, sorry, all fell inside when you busted it from the outside. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, they do it backwards.
Yeah, so, like, sorry. If you're busting from the outside, like, the glass fell outside.
But it should be inside if you were breaking in. Yes.
Yes.
So,
again, not condoning or trying to tell you. I think we've been saying this a lot. Sense.
We're not weirdos, but
we're not trying to tell you how to get away with murder.
Clearly we could. No. I mean, these people who do this clearly get away for a while, it seems like.
I mean, if you're staging it, at least stage it properly. Mm-hmm.
Leave the door unlocked. Like, if you do have a key. I mean, like, just come on.
Cover your tracks. Yeah.
Okay, so sorry.
Okay, so it was slashed from the inside instead of the outside.
So, you know, at this point, they're like, they don't really even know. They don't have a lot more. I mean, because, you know, all the fingerprints and stuff inside the apartment is hers and her roommate's because they live there. So it's not like it's questionable or any of that. So the whole community is just super alarmed. And then Butte residents, all that knew her, you know, she grew up there. They all kind of rallied together to support the family. During this time, so they did grocery runs, you know, brought them meals, all the things.
Typical small town.
Yeah, you can just tell they were very, just good people, Heartland people, you know, Heartland kind. So even the high school students there where her siblings attended, they put together pink bracelets in her honor. So immediately after this, the college ramps up their security. They install video cameras in the parking lot and new lighting. They even were looking into emergency alert systems that send alerts to students' cell phones and computers. So I'm glad that they at least took those precautions moving forward.
So was her apartment on campus?
It didn't say. Okay. I mean, I think it was. This school cannot be that big.
Yeah.
From what I understand. I'm not quite sure about that. I'm going to say maybe. Okay. Because they're going to do all that. I mean, either way, probably just a good precaution to take regardless.
So I just didn't know if maybe it was just because one of their students died. Yeah. And so they were like, well, maybe someone followed her home or something.
Well, and if it was like an off-campus apartment, it probably was still relatively close to the campus. So, I mean,
hard to say. Okay.
Yeah. So kind of back to the investigation. So they don't have really any leads to go on at this point. So they interview several people that she was close to. They took several DNA samples from all these people and they just interviewed everybody that they could, just a wide range of people to try to solve this case, and nothing really came from it. They said that they gave all tips that they received attention. So they even went as far as to interview construction workers that had been working on like the roof areas of those apartments at the time, because you know, they don't know.
Well, and that could be another thing, like she could have had a stalker, she didn't know, like they saw her walking in and out, they became obsessed with her or something, you know. That's,
she was beautiful too. When I post pictures, like, just gorgeous, like so pretty. It's just sad. Not that, I mean, that matters, but it's just a sad situation.
Well, she clearly had
so much
a
going
lot.
For her. Yeah. So they interview them, and then they were even a little suspicious of the maintenance man because they thought it was weird, too, that he had pointed out the screen initially because, you know, they think they're going to do that. So they see it first, like, oh, wait, you missed the spot.
I do this.
But everything from him came back, I mean, inconclusive, too.
I mean, also, though, if her roommate's out of town, you kind of have to...
Right.
The people start who have there. Keys.
Yeah, because that's super weird. Which, I mean, a lot of doors you can lock from the inside and leave, like, if it's not a deadbolt.
Right, yeah.
They weren't really clear on what kind of lock, so right. I don't know, but... I don't know. So, even one of Anita's, like, good friends that she grew up with, he was actually her senior prom date. His name was Matt Murphy. They started looking into him. So he lived in the same complex, the same apartment complex area as Anita. And when he noticed that there was a big police presence over there, he immediately went and was, what's going on? And he was just super concerned. And, like, I hate that the bad people that, like, do that and insert themselves into investigations when they are the guilty party.
Yeah.
Because then not ruins it, but then the people who are truly innocent, like, you question their integrity and their motives, you know?
Well, that's like one of those days I was coming over to your house, or I was taking the kids, no, I was taking my daughter to school, and there was like 4 sheriffs in my neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
and
that.
And I still do this, I don't know what happened, I never saw anything on the scanner page or anything like that, but listen, people are going to be curious, especially when it's close to where you live.
Yes, it's just, it's human nature. Yeah. You want to know what's going on and what's happening.
Yeah.
I get that. And so, and especially him, like, he knows her and they were close. They said that he always had, like, you know, a secret love for her, which, cool. Duh, she was beautiful. Like, why wouldn't you? She had everything going. But needless to say, like, he was constantly checking in with them and very overly helpful. And so they, you know, immediately are a little suspicious. So he ends up, though, being completely cleared from the, you know, suspect. So, I mean, that just shows there are good people. And that's what's hard is, like, you still have to take it all seriously because
but
there are the people
thing.
That do that.
The husband, the ex, or whatever, you know. So, I mean, all those things make sense.
Yeah.
Especially if he lived that close.
Yeah, totally. I know.
Even if he hadn't inserted himself or, like, had gone they would have gone to him because
so
he lived there.
He just genuinely cared, you know. So, that kind of sucks. So, I mean, other than that, then the case is kind of just, like, at a standstill. They eventually have a witness say that she saw a man running away from the apartment around that same time. So they're able to identify this guy. He's literally just a runner running by. You know, he had nothing to do with it. So people were getting their hopes up that it was a lead, and it wasn't. So that was really the only things they had to go off of. So they never released any specifics on, like, DNA, and they really just hoped that new advances in technology would eventually lead them to the suspect. And they were really just relying on people to come forward with info at this point. So several years go by, and the family heard less and less, because I had read a thing where the sister said that they were very frustrated with the police because they were constantly checking in. I mean, but they didn't have any new information to give them, but they just wanted it to still be relevant to them.
Well, and the thing, unfortunately, is a lot of times with cases like that, the only reason why they continue to get any sort of police looking into it is because of the family constantly bringing it up. Because it kind of gets to a point where, like, they probably had a bunch of people on it at first, but as leads started to dwindle, they probably started to less of the task force.
And new things are coming up.
Yeah.
And this is, like, a small town, which I know a lot of our cases we've talked about, they just don't have a lot of means in small towns. I mean, they don't have the staff or, you know, the equipment and all the things to solve a crime as quickly as, like, big cities would. So I think that was kind of a lot of it. So this is, let's see, this would be 6 years later. So April 9th.
Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, that's why that date was familiar. When I was, like, writing that, I was like, who do I know? That's why. So, April 9th of 2013, Daniel, Anita's older brother, died by suicide.
Oh.
Yeah. So, the family said that his death was just, or his, well, his, okay, sorry. The family was saying that Anita's death was just so devastating to him that it changed him and it caused so much pain. They said he was never the same after she died because they were so close.
Yeah.
And they think, you know, he just couldn't live with all of it that happened. And the family even went on to say that whoever killed Anita actually had a hand in killing him.
Which, yeah.
So can you imagine, like, losing one child to a horrible murder, no closure, and then another child dying? You know, like, I just think that is, oh my gosh, I don't even know. That is just a lot of pain.
Then the youngest sister has now lost both of her siblings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just so sad. So, of course, right now is a good time, which we'll put them in the show notes, but I did just want to mention the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Again, on that note, the number there, if you are struggling or someone you know, call 1-800-273-8255. You can also text their crisis hotline. You can text TALK to 741-741. So that's kind of all with him that we really mentioned, but I just think that was a big part of that case.
Yeah.
Because
I wonder if he ever like saw any help, like,
I know,
therapy or anything like that.
I don't even know.
To cope with it, to help kind of deal with it. That's so heartbreaking.
I know. It is so sad. And I just think that family, like, just the person who did it, like, they don't realize how many lives it affects, you know, and how it changes all of them. So that happened. So now it's been 15 years from the time that the crime has happened. So,
oh, geez.
Cold case by now. There's no change.
Oh, so we're in this year.
Yeah. So we're present day.
Oh.
So this case is a very different one than one we've done in the past. And once I get to this, I'll explain something that I kind of found out throughout looking this up that's really crazy. So, yeah, we're in present day. So still, they have nothing. They're, you know, back at the time, you don't, you always hear like rumors and things that are, you know, going around, and rumors had kind of swirled around that Anita and her roommate had some tension, which some of that's common. I mean, yeah. I had a roommate in college that I was not a fan. So, you know, but that was never really an issue because her alibi was that she was at her parents' house. So they lived out like on a farm. And so she had been out there all weekend. I thought that was kind of weird when that was mentioned because I thought, like, do we have proof of that? Do we have her on camera? I mean, of course her parents are going to say, yeah, she was at her house because...
Well, the thing is, she could have been at the house, but who knows when she left if they were sleeping.
Right. So, you know, and the police say they never ruled her out,
mm-hmm.
but they never had enough either to do anything.
Yeah.
So these rumors all just, you know, kind of come to head that this had been said. And her roommate's name was Nicole Rice, by the way, just so if I refer to her as Nicole. So her stories that she had given just always kind of seemed inconsistent and they contradicted each other. She said, though, that her and Anita were best friends and she would never complain about her. So when this came out, the witnesses said that after Anita was killed, that Nicole had actually referred to her as a fucking bitch. And she was a fucking little cunt.
Oh.
Yeah. So that comes out like, whoop, okay. So
I mean, even if you guys didn't get along and you
that's harsh.
And you weren't the killer.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. maybe we don't at that point.
Right.
You know, maybe
dial it down. Like,
yeah.
Let's not, maybe.
Like that. That's horrible. I wouldn't have wished it on her, but I didn't like her.
I know.
I didn't
exactly
think she was a good person.
Like,
you know,
dang. And that's like some hardcore.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dropping the C-bomb. Like, that's hardcore, you know? So other witnesses said that they had seen Nicole at a bar on June 2nd, which was that Saturday, and that she had told the people at the bar she had to run home to get a change of clothes. But I was confused about that because I thought she was at her parents' farm.
Right.
And I did hear that they tried to look at, you know, social media posts from that day back then to see if they could see her at the bar at certain times,
yeah.
timestamps, and because social media was relevant then.
It was, but we had digital cameras.
That's
then.
True.
We
yeah.
didn't have the smartphones.
Yep. It wasn't instant.
Posting, yeah, you'd be posting mm-hmm. them later, a few days later.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, that nothing ever really came out of that. So
yeah.
that happens. And then I don't know what it was that spawned this witness to come forward. And I don't know when this accusation happened, if it had been years prior and he was just coming forward, or if it just happened. It just said that this witness said that Nicole was just belligerently drunk at a party or a bar, and that she had admitted to killing Anita. So, okay. So there's that. And then another person says that Nicole had told Anita that one way or another, I'm going to get you out of this house. Oh. So, okay. Like, I don't know if this stuff was mentioned previously or they're just being like putting it together now yeah. after a while of like time. So at this point, pretty much like a lot of the original detectives that worked the case when it happened has retired, you know, right. but they never like forgot what happened. So everybody was super invested in this. So, based off what they had on hand and were able to tie together, which they're kind of tight-lipped on a lot of the actual evidence right now, which you'll see why. I mean, it's a very new case. Yes.
Yeah.
So they were able to actually, they arrested her at Minot Air Force Base, where she worked as a civilian, on March 16th of 2022, less than a month ago from right now. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So this, it's crazy because when I was listening to stories, they kept referring to the suspect as he, just assuming. And so all along, it's crazy to hear she, you know, like it's just something that I don't know that they looked into enough maybe. So once she's arrested, she's in jail. Her bond was set at $120,000 cash or $250,000 surety bond. So the judge said that she wasn't a flight risk or anything because she had such strong community ties.
She committed murder.
Right. So her father, Kevin Thomas was his name, he wrote a check and bailed her out. Okay. So this is where it gets dicey too. You shouldn't even have the option of that.
You shouldn't get bail.
You've lived for 15 years and had a life.
Even if you commit murder or you're suspected of committing murder, you should not get bail.
No, I don't understand that. And so just because she has strong community ties. Okay. Well, here's another sketchy little thing. So this is, BTK.
Okay. But yeah.
That's a whole nother one. So
he's technically in our wheelhouse.
I know. I actually thought about that, but I was like, it would have to be like a month, like session of episodes because it's,
it's a well-known one. Like maybe one day down the road, we could do like a little series.
Yeah, we could do like infamous killers from each state or something. I mean, like Charles Starkweather, like that kind of thing. I don't know.
We hang out too much. We have ideas.
Okay, so this is where it gets weirder because Nicole, you know, gets out on bail. She had a past history with court. So back in 2012, she actually pled guilty to two counts of issuing checks without sufficient funds, and she jumped bail.
Okay.
On something like that. What? So why are they letting her out now? I read articles where the family was just like beside themselves. Like,
yeah, because
she has this history.
One, having the history, even if it was something not murder.
Right.
She shouldn't have gotten bail.
Given that she did that.
First of all, it's murder, so you should not have bail.
Right. I could not even believe that. I had to reread it a couple times because I was like, wait, what? So after the arrest happens, I mean, people, you know, are now coming out saying all these things that they were aware of at the time. So a lot of her friends said that they knew that they had had, Nicole and Anita had had disagreements and there was a lot of tension as roommates, but they all had kind of grown up together. I mean, in this small town and in high school, they all went to high school together, and no one ever would have thought that Nicole was capable of something like this. So the news just kind of hit in a different kind of way. Anita's family said it just reopened a terrible wound while they were happy to have some sort of justice. Right. I think they were just shocked because nobody ever would have pinned it on her, you know? So they did kind of think back, and they said that the way that Nicole had acted after Anita was killed was really just odd. I mean, they said that she seemed hard and just awkward.
But then again, people, like,
react.
Yeah. Well, in different ways.
And if that was your apartment and your roommate got killed, like, that's pretty alarming. Like, oh my gosh, that could have been me if I was home.
Yeah.
You know, like, you think about someone you're close with.
So she could be in shock. Like, right. There's so many things. Like, you just never really can tell how someone's gonna react to those types of things. So that's not always, like,
I know.
But the name calling,
that was a little bit much. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, other than that, like, Anita's mom said that Anita had mentioned to her that she felt uncomfortable because Nicole had brought home different men all the time. And then, like, in the morning, she would leave to go to class or work, and the guys would still be there.
Oh, that would make me uncomfortable, too.
And Anita straight up told her mom, like, I don't feel safe. So, I don't know. But at one point, it said that they even had, like, a physical fight. And I don't know what caused that or what stemmed from that. But Anita's foot got slammed in the door.
Oh.
So, that's, like, you know, all I really heard as far as their relationship went. So after Anita had been killed, you know, they had a memorial group for her on Facebook and all that. And Nicole was a member of the group. She would write comments on the page, like, I miss you. And she would write birthday wishes on her birthday. And Nicole's mom would even wrote things on Facebook, which are now deleted. But the post that her mom had written said, I wish they would catch the person who took Anita's life. I really liked her. I know you two had your ups and downs, no different than any other in your class. When they make an arrest, it'll be much needed relief for everyone.
Oh.
Okay, so mom says that. And then Nicole replied to that and said, it's just hard being the person everyone looks at. I'm that girl. I'm not a criminal. She said she's a victim too, and this changed my life forever, and I still hurt. I focus as much as I can on knowing the people that know me and know what kind of person I am. I know I wouldn't hurt anyone, but I'll never be able to change those other people's feelings.
Okay, so she made that post about her.
Right. So, yeah, some of it was hard when I was looking at it because they had it typed out exactly how they typed it, and there was a lot of, like, grammatical errors, but that's what it said. So she had written that, you know, poor her. So like, present day, her account is now deleted, but prior to her arrest, like, her Facebook profile said, mom of one, married to my best friend, dog mom, cat mom, ringleader of my own circus. So she had worked as a hairstylist for a while, it said. Then she was working at a car dealership, and they said she was also a very avid, like, bow hunter. So all of that happens, and as of this now, where it kind of stands, what day is the 21st? Did I just ask you that? Was that Thursday, right?
So it'll be the day after this airs.
Okay, so the day after this airs is when her preliminary hearing and arraignment is.
Oh.
So this is crazy because I was kind of like, shoot, should I do this? Because I don't have a lot of info. But at the same time, so this is where it was weird. So when I first started looking up cases, I knew I was doing something from North Dakota. I looked up homicides, crimes, anything, whatever, weird in North Dakota. So this case popped up about Anita. So this was prior to March 16th. So it just said it was a cold case. And I was like, This is crazy. How have they never solved this? And how have I never heard about this? So then, you know, you fast forward a little bit, and I was reading news on my phone, and it popped up. It said, suspect arrested 15 years after case. So I click on it, and I was like, you have got to be shitting me, because it was this case. And I was like, okay, this is a sign. So this is all very new, and I'm sure that a lot of places haven't even really talked about it much yet, because we don't even know all the details of what evidence they have against her, because it's so new, and they have to keep it all very quiet until they go to trial.
Yeah. Well, then the thing with that, though, is, like, we can keep up with this case, and then, like, when the trial's finally done and stuff like that, we could do, like, you can do an update episode.
A follow-up. I was thinking about that, because who knows? Like, I don't, you know, is she going to plead guilty? Is she, I mean, it's crazy to me to think that this woman has had a whole life since then, you know, 15 yeah. years. And I mean, I would hope she has remorse for that. You know, it's like she said, she's been married twice and, you know, she has a daughter, and it's like, it's just crazy to me because it's the last person you would think. Like,
I feel like there's no way she has remorse. Otherwise, how yeah, do you go about living your life?
True. Yeah. But they did say, yeah, they had no, I mean, there was no issues arresting her. You know, she went with them willingly. And I mean, her mugshot, which I'll share all of these pictures and stuff. It's like, it just looks like, oh shit, I got caught. You know, like that's the look she has. And so I don't know, but I'm like dying to hear more because I kept thinking, okay, so the only details we have is that she was found on her bed, the screen was slashed, knife was found, door was locked.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. So that's why I almost didn't do this case at first, but then when this came out, I thought, this is insane. A 15-year cold case?
Yeah.
And
well, that's the thing, though, too, that I love now is we're seeing so many of these cold cases getting solved. Yes. I wonder if DNA had something to do with it, because that seemed, you know, we're finding out, like, the I-95 yes. killer. We just found out who he was. I mean,
I was listening to a podcast today about the Golden State Killer. I know I do have a life more than that. I feel like everything I've said today is about that. But just because I was listening to it again, and they were just talking again about how he was caught because of DNA, you know? And it's like, oh my gosh, like, it's crazy the things they can do now.
I know. It's fantastic. I know some people are like, oh, we shouldn't have this. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If my DNA will help you, if someone in my family is a killer and has gotten away with murder, catch that mofo. Yeah,
because like, okay, the Golden State Killer thing, I'm sure you do know this, but I didn't realize, I think it was one of the victim's kids or something, or someone related to one of the victims, put that act into place of now any inmate has to give a DNA sample, you know?
And
I'm like, and I just think that that's like, why would that not even be a thing to begin with? You know, because of rights and stuff. Right, I get that.
But the thing is, like, he didn't have a record. Yeah. So for the people who don't have records and have gotten away with
familial,
it for this long.
Because how do you say that?
Familial,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because with the Golden State Killer, wasn't it one of his, like, kids or something like that had posted to, like, Ancestry DNA or something like that? And
they found it from him. Yes. Yeah.
And then they just followed him around. And the moment you throw anything away in public, I can't remember if
if it's publicly, like, discarded. Yep.
Then they can take it without a warrant. Because either his was, there have been a couple.
Yeah.
So his was either a cigarette that he dropped on the ground.
I don't even remember.
Or it was a glass of water that he ate at a restaurant or something. It was one of those.
That's insane, too. And there's a, kind of off topic, but on topic, there's a new documentary coming out on Netflix, which there was a news story, I don't know if you saw this, where someone looked into her DNA, like Ancestry, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden was finding all these siblings within like a 25, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yes. The doctor who was inseminating women and like
with his own, and then they were trying to
like
say
200
that, and they were saying they all like had these same features, and they were like saying that's technically they don't have a crime in like a law in place.
No, yeah.
Which is so disturbing.
Yeah.
And that's coming out soonish.
But that story came out a few couple years ago.
Yeah. Well, and I just saw it recently again. And then Kyla, shout out to you if you're listening. She tagged me on something yesterday because I didn't realize they made a Netflix thing about it.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either.
Until last night. And so I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, you'll have to go watch the trailer after this.
Yeah.
It's intense.
I will. No, well, and that's like, so even that whole DNA thing, a lot of people were finding out that they were adopted, their dad wasn't their dad, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Because those things weren't talked about.
Yeah. You just assume that,
like, in the, like, 50s and things like that, like, they didn't talk about that. And so then people are finding these things out.
And it's insane.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder how many more crimes are going to be solved. I mean, the more people really get into that kind of thing. Because some people are super into, like, seeing their ancestry, and I'm like, yeah, I don't really care.
Which, you remember that one client you had to fire of mine? I'm not gonna say because she didn't like the way I looked, but she kept she'd make the passive aggressive remarks.
Oh my gosh!
And it was the day I wore the blue lipstick.
Yes, man, back in the day.
Yeah,
I had to fire a client. That's a funny way to put it. Uh-huh. She was rude about it too.
Oh yeah.
She was just rude. But what was it that she...
She was super into her ancestry. Because remember, she, like, did all those things. She'd go visit, like, her ancestral home and think, this woman... Which, that in itself isn't bad, but this woman was not great on so many levels.
Yeah, the fact that she made comments about Cassie's appearance... but
passive
still
aggressive.
Yeah, was like super pissed too. Yeah. Like she only wanted you for massage. But I was like, then why are you so rude? You know, like, no, that's not how this works.
She was definitely the type of person who looked at me as her servant and not absolutely. Like as a service provider.
I forgot about that whole thing.
Because it was right after I came back from maternity leave.
Yeah. And we were just like, I remember the first time she had made a comment, we were kind of like, what?
And but then that day, because you were sitting there waiting for me when I came out of the room after doing her intake, because you guys heard her laugh when she looked at me.
Yes. Yeah. And she said something about like, oh, that's a new one or something like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something just very condescending and ignorant. Just, yeah. You know, one of those.
Yeah. Ugh. But I got to hear all about when she was not making passive-aggressive remarks about me or racist remarks about our front desk staff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I got to hear all about her ancestry stuff.
And I'm sure they were a bunch of a-holes. So.
I mean, who knows? That woman was
if that's where she came
but
from.
She was, like, super, like, in groups and, like, hardcore into
that's right.
it.
Like, I just don't care. I mean, I love my family and, like, cool. Hearing stories is cool, but other than that, I'm like, I mean, it's fine. Like, yeah. I didn't know them. Maybe I should care more. Maybe I'm related to someone that I don't
know. It was kind of neat. So, like, my sister did a little bit of, like, the DNA test to see, like, what you are or whatever. Because
that would be
interesting. Because we're German and Spanish.
Yeah. We're all from Nebraska here. We know that half is German, at least.
She got, like, detailed results, and that was kind of neat, and like I wouldn't mind necessarily doing that and seeing some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And like I know I have cousins in Spain and stuff like that.
That's
still
cool.
But I don't know. To go super far back with it, like, listen.
Well, and like if you had more of a reason, like if you were adopted or like a lot of your family had died, like, okay, I could see being interested, but I'm like, I mean,
listen,
we're all pretty, like, together.
I don't think there was royalty in my family.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything that
I don't think there's any money waiting for me anywhere.
No. So it's fine. I'll just leave it be.
Yeah.
But there are definitely interesting things that you can do with DNA. I actually just sent away for... Well, I sent it. And this DNA thing that's supposed to tell you, like, the best type of, like, diet and exercise to help you with, like,
your
like, weight loss.
Based off your DNA.
And, like, based off your DNA.
That's awesome.
And I was like...
Mine's just going to say maybe, like, work out and eat better.
Well, like. But it talks about, like, the different types of workouts you should do and stuff like that.
That's
like, based
cool.
on... I don't know how it works fully, but I was like...
That's actually pretty cool.
All right. Did I come across it on Instagram? Maybe.
Did you click on the ad? Maybe.
It wasn't technically...
Do you get emails now?
No, it wasn't technically an ad. It was this Pilates instructor that I really like from Fit On.
Mm-hmm.
I follow her on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
It was an ad, but it was like her
She
ad.
Was promoting it. Yeah.
Yes.
Hashtag ad.
Yes.
For the company. I love this because whatever.
Listen, there was a discount. It was
like
a really
a social
good
influencer.
Discount.
And it's fine. I'm not going to say I haven't bought things from people like that because of that. Okay.
We got way
sorry.
Off topic
I mean,
there.
That's a lot of this case, though, was... I don't have a ton of information. I know they had talked about, you know, the pocket knife, and they said it's either really stupid when a criminal leaves behind the weapon or really smart because, you know, if it's something that's directly tied to them
mm-hmm.
and they know people can place that with them... they should probably take it. But then, you know, if they take it and it's not really tied to them and they ditch it somewhere, it's easier to connect it to them.
Right.
So I don't think they necessarily had anything to go off of because of that.
Right.
So other than that,
I mean... It's also not hard to buy a pocket knife.
Right. Right. And a lot of people just have them for everyday things.
Especially
not me,
in a small,
but...
Well...
Yeah. I mean...
I have a couple pocket knives. Yeah.
Maybe I should have one. I don't know.
Listen, one of them's in my nightstand.
Disclaimer, maybe
so,
I should get one.
FYI, if you try to break in, I do have a knife in my nightstand. I will get
you. Don't mess
you.
With Cassie. I have two dogs that will alert me that you're coming before
Wick
you're
is,
even near my house. Wick so.
Is really good about barking. Devlin got up in the middle of the night one night, and Wick woke me. I woke up before Devlin was even out of his room because Wick started, like...
They
doing that low
yes.
kind of growl wolf.
I hate that. I just did it.
Seamus.
You guys heard me.
Yeah. Seamus is like, no, he's laying there. He's like, I know who that
I'm
is.
Tired.
Why are you?
Yeah,
shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up, pup. But I'm like, yeah. At least I know.
Oh, my dog's. Yeah. Well, one of my dog's ears are like the pointiest ears you will ever see. Bless her little heart. But. That what? She can probably hear things from Western Nebraska, maybe North Dakota. Maybe she knows something about what's going on up there with those ears. But I mean. I guess back to the case, I apologize guys here, but I mean, if you of course have any information or if you know anyone that might, sometimes all it takes is, you know, these things were just simple statements that were said that apparently gave them enough to arrest her, which we don't know all the details, but
I feel like there has to be like DNA or something.
Yeah, I'm sure there is, and they probably just aren't,
they can't give it saying away.
And so I'm gonna be really curious to see how this plays out.
Yeah,
and see what actually all happened and what led up to this. But in the meantime, the number to the Minot police station, or the, you know, there is 701-857-0111. So once again, if you happen to know anything, please call them, because I feel like at this point, the more they evidence they have to bury this girl,
the better.
Yeah. Bye.
And yeah, I think, you know, we'll definitely keep you guys posted. We'll have another update, I'm sure, once more of this. It'll be interesting to see how long this trial takes too, because sometimes these things can take forever.
Yeah.
And sometimes they can go quick though, depending
if
on
if she pleads, it depends on, yeah. Well, like if she, pleads guilty, I mean, we might, which, at some point, you would hope they still give you more just to know about what happened. But, yeah, this is kind of the first case we have like this. So, I figured we would give an update once things come out, like, part two.
Yeah.
But I just, I'm glad that there was finally some closure. And I guess that goes to show that sometimes it's just all it takes is something simple that someone remembers, or, you know.
Right.
So, on that note, too, I just kind of want to end with, of course, honoring Anita. So, everybody said that, like, they just, no one could understand why someone would ever kill her, because she was just so likable. Everybody liked her. And I'm sure in some way Nicole was jealous of that. So she was just described as kind, funny, super creative, just a patient and beautiful soul. They said she was just joyful and very charismatic. So it just is sad that a life was cut so short, just barely 1 year of college down, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that that's a, that was a weird one. Not weird, but just different, because I didn't really know what evidence was even there, but.
No, that was a good one. That was interesting. And I think that'll definitely be one that I keep an eye on.
Yeah.
I want to know. Yeah, all the details of that. So, like I said, we'll keep you guys updated.
Yeah, and if you, I'm sure you'll see stuff in the news if it, I mean, once, well, April 21st, we'll see what she pleads or what happens there. And
maybe we'll try to post an article to our social medias or something like that.
Because it'll be the next day. Yeah. So, yeah, just to kind of give you an update, because I just, it's always shocking that when it's a female, just because generally, I mean, more times than not, it's like, a male that we hear of anyway, not always, but I'm, so this one was crazy because I think they just assumed it was a guy and that she was sexually assaulted, but none of that was the case. Yeah. So it was definitely eye-opening to situations.
Yeah.
I had a roommate that I didn't get along with that I punched in the face one time. FYI guys, I'm hardcore. I've never physically fought anybody, and I hit this girl in the face and I was like, oh, and then I hear this story and I'm like, oh, maybe I should, you know, like, you just don't know. So
good thing she didn't wind up dead.
Yeah, no, I don't, I won't say anything. No, I'm just kidding. No, 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 I'm sure she's fine now, but it was not my proudest moment. But roommate tension happens. So
I mean, it does, especially teenage girls.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
it sucks too, because it could have just been in the middle of a heated argument and it happened and it was like, oh shit, now what? You know?
Right. But if there was no defensive wounds though, I don't know, that sounds.
I know. Like she was asleep and.
Yeah.
I don't know. But.
Anyways, guys, as always, we would love any of your stories, suggestions, true crime, paranormal, weird, you know, weird
all the
folklore.
Things. Yeah.
Things like that. You can email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. I will post all of our socials in the show notes. You can reach us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the things. But otherwise, until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.